told Charlotte yesterday we were going to have a test today. Said she wasn't in the Bible class, but she's here. We're not really a test, but what we're going to do today, this morning in Bible class and in worship, we're going to look at questions. Okay? I've been doing some studying and looking at, and thought I would just, you know, share this with y'all and get your feedback on it. Questions that Jesus asked is what we're going to look at in the Bible class. I don't know if you realize it or not, and Jesus asks a lot of questions, but realize how many. How many questions did Jesus ask? And I've got several of them here, but this really, when you look at all the questions Jesus asked, doesn't really even begin to scratch the surface. Okay? Because Jesus asked a lot of questions. Now, to start off with, you know, think about it this way. Why does an omniscient God need to ask so many questions? Now, I mean, just think about that a minute. Is he asking those questions because he doesn't know the answers? I don't think so. I think he's asking the questions to challenge his listeners, those that he's asking, because he wants them to think and he wants them to learn something about whatever the issue or the topic is at the time. It's for his information. Okay? It was for theirs, and I would suggest to you still is for ours. Day. Okay. So, we look at these questions, and so, what are we to learn? Obviously, they're recorded in the Scriptures, so they were meant for us to be able to look at, right? So what can we learn from Jesus' questions? So as I share some of these with you, I want us to discuss what was Jesus really asking in those questions and why? Right? So those two things. You know, a lot of times, you know, people ask questions and there's more to it just simply than the question that they're asking. Right? But I suggest to you that Jesus is kind of, you know, like lawyers. You know, lawyers are supposed to never ask a question of a witness in court unless they know the answer to it first. Okay? And that's kind of how Jesus is. He already knows the answer to these. Right? So again, he's not asking them. His purpose is not for him to get information. His purpose is something else in those questions. So, here's the first two that kind of are very similar. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. And then Matthew 14 and verse 31. Both of these incidents occur on the water. Okay? The first one, where there's a storm. The second one is where he walks on the water, right? And in Matthew 26, the question is, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Okay? Why did you doubt? And then in Matthew 14, he says to Peter, you of little faith, and the other disciples as well, in Matthew 8, he says, why were you so afraid? In Matthew 14, he says, why did you doubt? So what are those two questions all about? Okay. Why is Jesus asking them these questions?
I think he's trying to make them recognize the level of their faith.
Okay.
it has to be obvious to them. If they did believe, he could have been one.
Okay.
Why don't you?
Okay. All around you. You may not be walking on the water, but wherever you're walking, you start in the fray. Right. Calls us to doubt. Not careful. That's a very valid question for us today when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm and finding ourselves full of fear. Go back to here and Jesus asked us that question. Why are you so afraid? You know, when we worry about things, we have no business worrying about things. Some really valid and important questions that Jesus asked those who follow him and lead him today. Okay? John chapter 5. The man at the pool. Okay. What was the question that Jesus asked him? Does anybody remember? Do you get well? Okay? Now, on its surface, and we've talked about this before. That seems like a pretty stupid question, doesn't it? I mean, this man has been lame for how long? 38 years. Do you want to get well? Of course I want to get well, would be, you know, our initial thought, right? But that response was, why did Jesus ask him this question? Wes?
I think he was asking because he wanted to know what are you willing to do to get yourself healed.
Okay.
In the response of what the man gave him for that question.
Which was what?
He said every time he goes to get any other people, he'll go in before him.
Yeah, it's excuse, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, blaming everybody else. Okay. He wants it well.
You know, Lear often asked the question, do you have faith? Oh, see, I got faith.
Yeah.
How deep is your faith?
Yeah.
I'm afraid Jesus would look at us and say, how little is your faith? Do you believe in so completely that he's almighty to you? He's all powerful. He's all omniscient.
Yeah. You remember that? And he went into your office and you had a talk with him. And what did you find out about him? He was happy.
Where he was.
He was happy where he was. You weren't interested in, because I believe if anybody has problems, bring them to the church. And,
yeah.
Man, this families ought to be able to help them out in some way. They ought to be able to, if they want to get well,
the
church should be able to get them back. And I've seen them. Seen them going back after we get them up on their feet, they go back to the world. But he didn't want to.
And that's really, I think, the key is that so many times people don't want to get well. In this case, this is a man who physically. What about our spiritual infirmities? What about the stuff that's going on in our lives at any given time? You know, it's, you know, marriage problems. It's, you know, all kinds of stuff, other relational problems and so forth. Do you want to get well or do you just want to give up? You know? I see people at the jail every day that, you know, they come in there and I have opportunities sometimes, especially with the youngest ones. You know, some of them, it's their first time being there. And I just tell them, I said, look, I said, you made a mistake. Don't let this determine your life. Okay? And I told them, I said, you know, I show them this screen. This is the only charge that you have on your history. I said, I don't ever want to see you back here again. And that's the same way. Do you want to make a difference in your life, or do you want to just go? At the same time, I book people in, and we have a set people that have come in there, and they've been assessed, one of them almost 100 times. Mm-hmm. Just over and over and over and over again. Do you want to get well? Or do you want to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? But it really, I think, more than anything, is our desire. Do you want to? As I said a moment ago, if you don't want to, it's not going to happen. So the other part of this, and I think that one of the reasons why so many people don't want to, because if I start, like for this man, if I got well, then I'd have to start accepting responsibility for myself. I'd have to get a job. I'd have to start, you know, taking care of myself rather than just relying on everybody else to take care of me. And we live in a culture right now where everybody's a victim. And everybody expects everyone else to take care of them. Problems are, you know, there's excuses why they can't overcome. So the question, I think, is a very valid one that we need to ask ourselves at various times in our lives, and we need to be asking one another, do you want to get well? Say, or are you content to just keep going the way you are? That's where you are. Nothing's ever going to change. So that's a really vitally important question. Okay, here's another one. John chapter 4 and verse 7. American woman at the well. He asks her a question. All right? What is the question? Give me something to drink. Now, you know, that question is, doesn't seem like that big of a deal, does it? I mean, just give me something to drink, please. How many times have you ever asked somebody that? Okay? So what is this question really all about? Why this question, Wes?
My thing is about here going somewhere. As far as down there in the bucket that they use to draw the water out the well, because She didn't come to the well with water.
Right.
She came there to get some water.
To get the water, right.
But then after she did all the work, he asked her, hey, give me, you know, you okay. did the work, but then give me a drink. You know, so knowing what Jesus, we don't know this sad activity of his time.
Okay.
You know, but he was asking her, will you do this for me?
Right.
You know, and I'm just going to sit here while you do it, and I'm not even going to help you. I'm just going to,
okay.
I want you to do all this work and do it for me. Are you going through some agony or some distress to do something for me while I do nothing to give it?
Her response kind of indicates that feeling that she had, isn't it?
Yeah,
why,
but
why is it that you, a Jew, can ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you something to drink?
But what I think was amazing is she didn't refer to the fact that because you're a man, you should be doing me, you know,
right.
helping me because I'm a woman. But he was a Jew.
Right.
You know, more so of his nationality, not of what he was.
So why is he asking this question?
Trying to start a conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a conversation starter, quite simply.
Yeah.
You see? It's a simple question. I mean, it's not this great theological issue. It's a simple question. Will you give me something to drink?
Mm-hmm.
And then look at where the conversation went.
Mm-hmm.
Just by starting the conversation with this woman in that way, was able to take her where he wanted her to go. Now, why is that? What do we need to learn from that? What can we learn from it?
Well, it could have gone, I don't know how he asked the question. I don't know, you know. Was he, here's a man, and Jesus is nobody special. Man sentence, and he's, I don't know, and he's asking for something. He didn't tell her, he didn't. With
right.
translation. He's asking. I hate to put him in a humble position. You're asking her to. Just a little. I just look at it as maybe he was humble in what he did. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. But when you ask somebody for something and you got no way of getting water.
Your nationality. Outside, do you think that you're better than this culture? Because that's where we are. And we've been that way for a long time. Nothing has changed in that. So are you going to take Jesus' step and start up that conversation with someone that you think is lower than you? Are you going to start that conversation about Jesus with someone? And as a simple, how are you today?
Look, he was trying to find out where she was at. He knew where she was at, but he was trying to get her to recognize where she's at in the relationship with God.
Yeah, and see, that's the real key, is what did Jesus know about this woman? The answer is everything, right? When she went back to the town, she said, come see a man who told me what? Everything I've ever done, you know. So Jesus knew what was going on in her life.
Yeah.
Okay? And what he wanted, I think, was for her to have to kind of face some of that, you see. And so here's a question for you. In terms of what do you know about somebody in your life that needs Jesus? You know, what's going on in their life? You see, that a simple question might start a conversation that might lead them to Jesus. See? Again, I think sometimes we get concerned because, you know, I've heard so many church people talk about, I'm not sure that. They may ask me a question I don't know the answer to, and we're thinking theologically and all the Bible answers and all that stuff. Today, you seem to be pretty sad. What's going on? Is there anything I can help you with? Again, if you know that somebody is struggling with something, there's an opportunity, and the conversation can start with a simple question. Can you give me something to drink? That simple question may cause that person to, you know, kind of, what are you asking me that for? You know, like this woman did with Jesus. And no, we don't have all the insight into everything in that person's life like Jesus did. But if we take the time, you never know where that conversation might lead. But the fact that you showed an interest in that person at a time in their life when maybe things were not going very well. We don't have to start out with somebody and go, does Jesus live in your house? A simple question. All right, here's another one. Actually, three questions from this particular story. John chapter 6. Jesus' discourse on the bread of life. The first question that we're going to look at is Jesus asking his disciples, and now keep in mind there's a huge crowd of people there, and he said, verse 5, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Okay? Again, why that question? What is Jesus' point in asking that question? Any thoughts? I mean, you got 5,000 people. 8,000.
Yeah.
Ryan?
I don't know what those disciples thought. Like, why are you even asking that? Can you see how many people are in front of you? There's nowhere we can have so much food for all these people.
Yeah.
Well, but look, he's done so many miracles up until now.
Okay.
That why wouldn't they expect him to do something for these
okay.
people?
The grocery store was 25 miles away.
What do you think that Jesus wanted his disciples at least to think about by asking that question?
Jesus had the power to
okay. The has to come back. Faith that tells us what? Okay. Basically, it's the idea of going, what are the possibilities? Okay? It's kind of like the other, you know, why did you doubt? And so forth. He's been saying that Jesus was trying to challenge his disciples. Again, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Okay? It wasn't a Jesus. Here, I've been preaching so long, what are we going to do? Okay. You heard me say before, one thing you will never hear God say is, whoops, I didn't see that coming. Okay? Yeah. He always knows what he's going to do. But the disciples didn't. And so here's a very easy, common dilemma. In other words, I say easy, in fact, it happens all the time. I don't have enough food to feed anybody. Where are we going to get the provisions to take care of the situation? How is it going to work out is another way to look at it. Whatever the situation or the circumstance is, the question sometimes get ourselves kind of twisted up in is, how is this going to work out? And I think that's really what Jesus is asking. Are we going to get food enough to feed all these people? Okay? So I have to start thinking. Yeah. Miracles. Okay? Are you thinking of the possibilities? Okay? Thinking of the possibilities. I don't know. Brad, go ahead.
One of the things about our King Jesus is that He knows our thoughts. He knows exactly what we need. Mm-hmm. And the thing with most people, a lot of people, even some in the church, don't have the kind of understanding of the Word of God where they should let Him do the talking. Situation with all these people. He had an answer for it, but He also wanted His disciples to see His reason as to what, you know, because He was training them.
Right.
He's training them. He wants them to say like He does.
Right.
And now, I can't found Jesus doing anything to trick anybody. No. But it's a reasonable question or a reasonable answer He's been giving. But He entitles us here today to think for ourselves and use His word as a guide. We must do that. We must do it. Because Jesus don't play games. Well, he does everything. Every catch up.
All right. This occasion where when he feeds 4,000, somebody's already turned there to tell me, their initial response was, you know, send the people back to the town. Right? In other words, kind of like, you know, that's not our problem. That's their problem. You give them something to eat. See? What are the possibilities? See? Is that what we're looking for? That we're looking at. What are the possibilities that God can do? I've seen Him do all kinds of amazing things. Do I right away, when faced with a situation like this, that's, you know, I don't know what to do, do I right away start thinking of all the reasons why it's not my responsibility or it's not for me to deal with and all those things? Or do I look at, in our case, knowing the Scriptures, as you brought out earlier, we know the story. Do we look at and say, work this out? I know He's already set up, but I believe that He will take care of it. Say, or do we just kind of throw up our hands and go, you know how many people there are here? We don't have enough food to feed everybody. Right? The challenge for us to think in terms of abilities that God can come up with in situations that we deal with in our lives. Brian?
You know, in this particular one you bring up, Philip answers him. He's looking for to be able to follow this truth that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And Jesus, I think in this very moment with that perspective is, we often look at worldly answers first.
Yeah.
And He's trying to gear us to look at Him first, spiritually, physically, in every aspect of our lives. But we have, the disciples seen all the miracles. They've seen it multiple times. They know this is an option. They know that He can take care of of everything. But they continue to go back trying to find a physical work answer to the problem.
Yeah, good point. And how often when we're faced with some kind of an issue or struggle going on, do we think financially, I can afford this? You know, here's you know, what I'm saying, but I can't afford that. Because we do that. We go right to the secular responses.
But Andrew might have seen the possibility.
Yeah, because how would he respond?
That
we've got what?
Boy.
Yeah, we've got this basically this boy's lunch. Mm-hmm. But what does he say, though?
But what is it?
What is it for so many? But, and I think that's part of, you know, the challenges. He's thinking in terms of, we've got something. I don't know what you can do with it, Lord, but this is what we have. You see? So we need to have his faith.
You said it earlier. Jesus uses crisis as opportunity.
Yeah.
And human nature for us is pretty much what Brian said. We go to panic.
Yeah.
We don't look at his side of it, using it as an opportunity.
What's, you know, what are the possibilities? It's hard for us sometimes to stretch beyond what we can see with our eyes and what we can think of in our own mind in terms of what the solutions are to the problems and things that we come into in life with. And a question like this is really a challenge for us to be able to think and see beyond that. Look and see what God could do with this, you know? And I think the most important that I'd suggest is that we have to continue doing what we know God wants us to do, even though we don't necessarily see the solution right away. But having the faith, knowing that God has it, so he's already got this figured out, what he wants me to do. See, rather than panicking and again worrying and all because I can't see how this is going to work out. Trust that he can. So, two other questions that fit in this question. Jesus gives his discourse on the bread of life, response by some of his disciples, and they are referred to as his disciples. Now, this is not the 12, but this is following Jesus, okay? And so some of them, that it tells us on hearing this, some of them said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Okay? And Jesus challenges them on that, and he asks this question, verse 61, "Does this offend you?" Okay? Why that relevance of it to us today? Does this offend you? First of all, what's he talking about? What's the this? His teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, quite simply, it's what he'd been teaching them. And he says, "Does this offend you?" All right? So what's the relevance of that question for us today? Any thoughts? You know, there's an awful lot of people, church people out there that are offended by the teachings of Jesus. You know? I mean, we're seeing churches that are going in directions that are just, I mean, ridiculous to be able to even think you could claim Jesus and hold these beliefs and teachings and accept this and that and every other thing that they accept. And if you were to challenge them, because it's been done, you can read about it on the news all the time, especially with the gay agenda today.
Yeah.
The churches that are out there that are, you know, the Methodist Church, I think, I saw an article the other day where, I don't remember the number, but it's like 200 Methodist churches in America, in this one part of America that are in this Methodist Synod, are suing to be separated from the main body, property, and everything else, because the main body is going in support of the gay agenda. You see, and they're going, right, this is not acceptable. And they want to be separated, but if they would just walk away, then they wouldn't be able to keep the church buildings and the properties and all that. You go, why is that even happening? Because why? You talk to those people that are pushing the agenda, and that would offend them. They're offended by the teachings of Jesus. And we need to be aware of that, because we talk to people today about the Lord, we're going to run across some folks who are going to be offended by the teachings of Jesus. So what are we going to do? Are you just going to shut up so you don't offend anyone? Or are you going to challenge and just put it out there and say, this is what Jesus says, this is what the Bible says? Not condemning you. It's not my message, it's His. I'm just a messenger. Right? What are you going to do? Next question, I think, fits in here really well. And I'll get to you in a second. Verse 67. Because before that, it tells us, from that point on, many of His disciples turned and followed Him no longer. The next question that Jesus asks is what? He turns to the 12 and says, you want to leave too? Say, again, what's the point? And what is He really asking?
Where do you stand?
Okay, where do you stand? Brian, you had a thought a moment ago?
Over the years, I've had people live. I don't believe it. I'm not going to. And then and I'll say, fine, that's your choice. They're not rejecting me, that they're rejecting Christ. And Scripture tells us we run into people like that and say, and we can make a difference. Because this is a good example. They had Jesus. And people turned away and walked away from Him in their presence. How much more is that going to happen to us? So we need to realize that our job is to spread the word as much as possible, spread the seed as much as possible. What happens after that falls on the responsibility of the person to accept it. Because we can't make them accept it.
Let me ask you, as you have grown in your spiritual life, think about where you started and you've grown spiritually. Has being a Christian become tougher? In other words, the teachings that you find, the things that you learn in God's Word that He calls upon us to do as His children, does some of it become tougher? I think it does.
And so, in this age we're in right now, it's becoming tougher and tougher.
Yeah. So, is there a point in your life where, you know, you might find asking you, do you want to leave? Everybody else has abandoned and, you know, this teaching that Jesus is calling upon me to do is tough. It's a tough teaching. Okay, I got one more question.
And Rose,
but go on, start. Right?
It's been tough for me for 15 years I've been down. And I try my best to deal with my situation as best I can. And sometimes it seems like sometimes they're in the way. But I I did have a conversation with Shane Neesmith yesterday. He helped me tremendously with what you can do. I mean, gave me scripture for everything he said. And I truly believe all of us have a reason and a purpose again. I may not have done everything, but I tried for the last 47 years. Nothing matters. Jesus Christ to do what he said. My mother helped introduce me to the church. I thank God for my mother. I have been with pain and sickness. I've already been there with me through all this time. But there's a difference between people, even in the church. And I love my wife. But sometimes I need someone else from a godly perspective to understand and at least see what's happening. I have been through a lot. And I try not to complain about it, but I can't help how I feel. And I don't want to be a burden in this life to anyone. I want, you know, I can't say it like I want to probably. I can't say it. But the thing that gets me, there's so many people that try to live a certain way, but they're not living it. When I'm able to come to church, I feel at peace. When I come in here, I want to be an example. I've sang a many songs for my 47 years. I have tried to teach, preach, even talked to my brother Easton the other day. He knew I preached and talked to him. I don't worry about what has happened. All I can do is think about what's going to happen in the future. I can't control tomorrow. But what I need is compassion when it comes to hopefully how I feel. That's why I talk to God so much.
Okay.
Because he's the only one I can put my faith and trust in. And I'm not being mean or cruel. I'm telling you like it is. Because God, since I look gold, sees everything and knows it. I can't continue to focus on me all the time. I try to think about others. But my health is nowhere near like it was 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I was walking. I was driving. I was doing everything. But I'm not angry with anybody. I'm not mad with God. He didn't do this. I did a lot of this to myself. I should have took a little better care of myself as a younger man. Brother, I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm glad to be close to God. Because without him, I don't know where I'd be. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to, in other words, I'm going to try to stay focused on God. And not so much on me.
You have a wonderful, glorious future for folks. You'll have both your legs again. No more issues, no more problems.
I just had to say this.
And I appreciate you doing it.
Amen.
Okay. I'm just going to share this last question with you and encourage you to do some study. Okay? This question is Mark chapter 15, verse 34. my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Why did Jesus ask that question? And I want to encourage you to read and study. Don't just read it because you'll probably miss it. Read and study Psalm 22.
Yes.
And you will find the answer. Thank you all very much.